It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the traveling Built Ford Tough studio here at Glen Oaks Club in Old Westbury, New York. It's the Boomer Esiason Foundation golf outing year number 31. This place is awesome. Obviously, this is one of your bigger events in raising money for the foundation, and it's always a great day. The dinner afterwards is fantastic. Everything's fantastic. It's world class, and I'm not just saying that because you're sitting next to me. It is world class.
You have participated since we started working together. Yep. You know, this is. I'll never forget that first year that you came out here, and I remember you guys on the driving range.
Yeah.
You, Al, and Jerry.
It's before I ever played a round. Yeah.
Exactly, and you know, I don't know whether or not did you feel like you liked it that day.
No, I hated it. I didn't hate it. I just couldn't hit the ball. No one told me how to play, so like it was frustrating. You know?
Yeah, and you were still into boating and things of that nature.
I still am into boating.
And by the way, the weather's going to be beautiful today. Right now, I was telling you, I feel like I'm sitting at Pebble Beach because anybody who's ever went to has ever gone to Pebble Beach to play golf or just to travel there to go see beautiful downtown Pebble Beach and everything else, Carmel. I mean, this is the weather that you get. You get a little bit of a mist in the air. It's usually overcast and cloudy in the morning.
Yeah.
And a little chilly. There's a little chill in the air. So I have a little Pebble Beach feel this morning.
Nice. Could be worse than having a Pebble Beach feel.
Just like if you were at Maidstone today on the ocean out there.
Out east.
Yeah, out east. It would just be beautiful. Shinnecock. Sabonic. National.
Hey,
this weather
language.
Just, I'm telling you. Okay. This is your language now?
My language.
Yeah. I thought your language was West Sable.
It is.
All right.
It's that, too.
Don't ever forget that.
Okay, you either.
Well, I didn't pick up golf until I started playing private clubs. And that was okay, I didn't pick it up until like I was 24 years old. And that was so I could hang out with my teammates in Cincinnati back in the day.
Yeah, well, it's worked out for you.
Yes, it has.
888-808-1019 is the number to call if you want to talk some Mets, some Jets, some Giants, some Yankees. 888-808-1019. And tonight, you get the Yankees and the Royals game two. The Yankees were able to escape. You know, being at that game, it was there was more negativity around me with Yankee fans than I expected. Like, I think that
they want Aaron Judge to hit a home run every time he comes up. Do you understand?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a reasonable expectation at this point, is it not?
I understand, but he didn't really do much. So, and they had. It had to be frustrating for the Yankee fan watching this because they had so many opportunities to blow that game open.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, much like we talk about Mets and Jets fans and the PTSD, Yankee fans obviously don't have as much, not even close. But in recent memory in the postseason, they're always thinking the offense isn't going to show up. They're not going to score. We've seen these guys go cold, and it's contagious, and it's annoying. And, you know, they were able to score enough runs, but, you know, it didn't come from Aaron Judge. So I think that they start thinking that way. And also, Gerrit Cole was getting smacked around in this game. And you don't want to see your ace and the guy that you really trust more than anybody go out there against that Royals lineup and look pedestrian, and he did. So there were certainly some concerns there. I was a little surprised of just the Yankee fans who were around me how negative they were, but it's also as the pressure is so high on them
that's what they all do. Listen, when their agents are in there negotiating contracts, this is what they're negotiating them for, is for these moments. So I don't, you know, pressure is part of the process of getting to this point and living up to it. The thing that Yankee fans would have loved to have seen would have been a Zach Wheeler type outing from Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
And they didn't get that. And, you know, I wonder about Cole because he hasn't been great over the last, you know, last third of the season has not been great. I mean, he had a couple moments here or there. But I don't know what it is. It doesn't look like he's the guy that, you know, they expect to go out there and win a game seven if he had to and throw a two-hitter and throw eight innings of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, you want to see that one great start to make you feel better about it. But even the outs were hard-hit balls. I mean, he was just getting roasted out there. It could have been a hell of a lot worse than it was. So
did you here's when the Yankees win, we usually don't hear any negativity towards what Aaron Boone's doing with the lineup, what he's doing with the pitching changes, mm-hmm. or any, did you get any of that sense?
No,
they won.
Yeah, right, but not at all. No, it's more about the best players on the team not performing in the big spots. And that is what has sunk them in years past, and that's what you hear. Like, come on, Cole, I mean, what the hell? What is this? This is Royals lineup, shouldn't be doing this to you. I mean, here we go again. Aaron Judge, he's incapable of performing in the postseason.
I don't understand. One game.
But it's not. It's his career.
I understand that. But in this series, in this year, it's one game.
It is.
I mean, I'd like to see him become like what Francisco Lindor and Brandon Nimmo have been doing. I'd like to see that. You know, even Pete Alonso is now starting to participate. He's getting a little bit hot, hitting a couple big home runs. Of course, that's what you want to see. But, for me, like, I felt like the Yankees escaped with a win.
Yes, absolutely. I feel 100% the same way.
But then again, are the Royal pitchers afraid to pitch to the Yankee hitters?
No, it doesn't seem like it.
Well, how many walks did they have?
Well, yeah, okay. I understand. But, there's a patience factor, too.
Patience factor.
You got to give credit to.
That's PF. Is that in the stats pack?
It certainly is.
Is that right behind WAR?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And BABIP.
It is. What are we doing here? What is this here now?
Oh, it's a nice little omelet I asked for. Yeah. Glen Oaks, baby. Glen Oaks omelet. They got an omelet station in there.
Is the omelet better than the greens, or the greens better than the omelets?
Not a fair question.
Okay.
Really not a fair question. Because in their own category,
yes,
they are the best.
Okay.
You start mixing categories. It's like comparing errors in baseball.
Okay.
We can't do the Babe Ruth Shohei Ohtani comparison.
No, you can't. You can't. There's no way. Right.
So, anyway, what the hell was I saying?
Well, you're talking about the Yankees, and you're talking about players not coming up in big spots.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you can't lose to a team that throws Michael Wacha out there in a game one at Yankee Stadium. Can't lose to that team.
They didn't lose.
Well, I'm talking about the series.
Right. But you're complaining that Yankee fans seem to be pessimistic around you.
I wasn't complaining. I was giving an observation.
Okay.
That wasn't a complaint.
Well, I would think that if you go to Yankee Stadium and it's a playoff game, it's going to be a real positive feel, like City Field's going to be tomorrow night.
Oh, man.
City Field's going to be rocking tomorrow night.
I know. It's tomorrow afternoon.
But the amazing thing is the Philadelphia fans, that was a great atmosphere.
I hate them. I hate
them. I know you hate them, but it was a great atmosphere.
Yeah, of course it's a great atmosphere, and it's been a great atmosphere. So much so that and this is something I will never forget, even though I'm not like a fan police person. I hate when people do that. But I was very surprised that Al last year, this was a year ago, I'm going to go back, where he said he was rooting for the Philadelphia Phillies in the postseason because of that atmosphere. And like that was, like I said, I hate the fan police people, so I didn't get on them. I just, that struck me a little bit like, wow. Like, if you could make a guy who's been rooting for the Mets since he was a kid root for the Phillies just based on the atmosphere, I guess that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I just want to see a full stadium, people pumped up. Even if I had that Yankee game on, the seats behind home players, no one in them.
That's because they're eating.
Game's on. Get your food and bring it to the front.
You don't understand. You've been down there.
No.
Oh, you
didn't come with me and Craig that one year?
No, I don't go to the Bronx.
No, so you know what? If you would have come with us to that game, you would have seen why people spend a lot of time underneath the stands.
Can't you bring the food to your seat?
You can.
Eat your sushi there?
You can if you want, yes.
Yeah, but there's just nice tables.
You know,
and
a lot of those are fluff people anyway. You know that. They're not, I mean, they're fans, but they're real fluffy fans.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
It was a sellout. It was a full-blown.
They had 49,000 people there, Al. Place was packed.
Yeah. And by the way, they got to do a better job of figuring out how to get everybody into the game. Like, luckily,
you got to have clear.
Yeah, I know.
I keep telling you, clear, 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 clear. Get clear and you're into the game.
What again? What is it called?
Clear.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
yeah, so it...
How many times do you have to tell people?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't remember you saying that recently, but...
I've been saying I got clear to go through the airports.
Oh, yeah. We got rain now?
A little bit of rain.
Hey, Jerry, okay. You mind just pulling my clubs just a little bit closer in there? We don't need a moist... I already can't swing a club. I don't need some moist 7-iron.
A little bit of rain. This is what's called for.
I think Craig Courier made it rain just to soften things up just a little bit.
Maybe. I hope so. That would be nice.
I didn't see a thing on the radar.
Yes.
That's okay. It'll be fine. It's going to be a beautiful day.
Sean Kennedy sent us a text yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That a little rain around 8 o'clock. What time is it?
8:10.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That guy's right on it.
He really is.
He's
right
like
on
the
it.
Matt Hammer of CBS Sports Network remotes.
I don't want to start a Matt Hammer conversation, but he has seemed like he's transitioning into being a country music guy, not a weather guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. He like goes down to Nashville and interviews guys and stuff. He's like, all of a sudden, he's given up the meteorology, and he's going into country music. Wow. Interesting. So anyway,
that's an interesting transition.
Good,
yes.
Yeah. Good luck to him. But yeah, that atmosphere, of course, they call it, you know, Red October, and the fans go crazy, and it's one of the better atmospheres. And it would have been great to come out of there with two wins, but they got one, and I really can't be upset with that at all. And Citi Field's got to be just as intense, just as fired up, and it will be. I mean, especially, they haven't had a home game in weeks and weeks and weeks. This fan base is just falling in love with this team even more so than they did. I mean, think about all the stuff that has happened since they've been back at Citi Field.
We're part of the fan base, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
And we're in love with the team.
Yeah.
So we're speaking on behalf of the fan base.
Man, I tell you, you're so combative. Everything I say, you're finding something like a problem with.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just reminding you that we're fans too.
I know.
And we love what we have seen from this team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you think for 1 minute that Vientos wasn't going to do something at that last at bat yesterday?
I did. I wasn't like in my mind guaranteeing it.
Once Lindor got on, I'm saying this guy's going to do something.
Well,
I don't know about a home run, but he's not going to sit there and he's not going to strike out.
I'll tell you this much: I don't have any sort of fatalistic view at any point of the game with them.
Well, that's good. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I'm not saying like he's absolutely coming through, but it's like there's a chance. You know, there's now that it used to watch this team be like, there's no chance, and that's the way I felt about him in the beginning of the year. But I mean, no matter what is going on in the game, there's a chance. So yeah, that's been the best part about them is they're just absolutely they're never dead. Your trophy got soaked over there.
Yeah, obviously somebody's not doing their job.
Yeah,
somebody's not paying attention. A little rain. Somebody's getting a little bit like soft.
Yeah,
hanging inside.
Remember last year, like do not pick up the trophy from the trophy. You got to pick it up from the base.
Yes.
And then someone goes grabs it by the trophy.
Can I see the trophy, Jerry?
And the thing separates. You know, I told you not to do that.
Just make sure that it's okay and it's fine.
Well, it's wet, soaked.
Well, we'll wipe it down. That's all.
Oh man,
look at this. This is perfect. There we go.
Yeah, nice.
Don't you want to hold this?
Yeah, at some point. I mean, today's not going to be the day, but maybe sometime down the road.
Okay.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, today's not going to be the day, huh?
Well, I mean, I'd be very surprised. You know, things would have to be.
A lot of things would have to go right.
A lot of things would have to go right.
Your partner would have to play great.
Well, yes. And I mean, but the beauty of this tournament is both guys have to play.
Yes.
Well.
A little pressure.
You know, I'll let you use my napkin if you want to dry off the trophy.
Okay.
If you need it.
I didn't realize that was your napkin. Well, yeah, sorry.
I'm the only one with a meal here.
Yeah, okay.
You know. It's all right.
I'll go get some pancakes.
I probably would be more of an egg.
Waffle? How about a waffle?
Ah.
They got a nice waffle station. Go get a waffle.
I'm a protein guy.
Get
now.
A waffle with eggs.
With eggs. All right. That's something.
And the food here is just is insane. Absolutely insane.
Syrup.
Excuse me. Just sprinkle a little syrup on there, please. The food here is off the charts. Absolutely off the charts. I thought about going on Tuesday,
yes,
to the game, but I do. I've got
WFAN doesn't have free seats.
I don't think so. I don't think they do. Do they?
Why
Ryan,
wouldn't they?
Do we have free seats for a Met game? They say he's going to check.
We're giving tickets out.
Yeah, to the
I mean,
listeners.
It's still $880, even though it's ESPN. I think I don't know what it is, but they're still on that channel.
You know those guys,
and that's still our station.
Those guys, those Odyssey.
Odyssey, that's right.
Soros. The guys on FS1 made me miss Boog Sciambi and Doug Glanville.
You didn't like that. You know, by the way, this is where baseball, the money grab is ridiculous because, you know, at least in football, when they're streaming on Prime or something, the local TV carrier carries it so you can watch it if you're not streaming.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like if you're on TBS or TNT, whatever, you can't watch that if you're streaming unless you have the Max app, which you have to pay for.
Yeah.
And this is the thing that just chaps Al. You know, and I understand it chaps me too because you have to have all these different streaming services. And then, you know, now you got you're going to have the YES Network and MSG combine. for the Gotham app, and then you're going to have to buy that app to watch those teams. It's just never ending.
You know what you do?
Hack a Fire Stick.
And then everything is perfect. You don't have to worry about it. I'm leaning more and more and more to trying to find some sort of illegal way to get television because I'm so sick of this. And I don't care. Like, come find me. I don't care. Yeah,
this is what I'm telling you. So you could have Fubo, and you'll get, you know, ESPN, and you'll get FS1, and you'll get those channels, and you get the over-the-air channels here, you know, CBS, ABC, NBC, and Fox. But, you know, now all of a sudden you're trying to find the Yankee game, and it's not on there because they don't have TNT and TBS. You got to get the Max app.
Yeah.
So they got to download that app, and then now you got another freaking subscription.
And you've got a tough time with technology being an old guy, so this really, really gets you going. I know it's tough for you. You got to call Gunner and be like, hey, Gun, walk me through this, man.
Yeah, okay. I have no problem with technology.
Unless it's a United Airlines app.
Yeah, well, that's a different story. That was just a complete and utter disaster.
We're in Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports.
Network. I need my glasses.
Shut up.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports Network.
I swear to God. That may have been the best French toast I've ever had.
I know. I'm going to have to go in
and grab some French toast, Al.
I just had a pancake. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Al eating a pancake is a rare occurrence.
Yeah. So. I'm just telling you, please do yourself a favor. Break whatever you're breaking and go in there and get yourself a piece of that French toast. It was ridiculous.
Looked it.
Did you have syrup with it?
I had some syrup. Jerry, you want some waffle?
No, I'll go with
Jerry. Do you have some waffle, Jerry?
I will. I'll go.
Jerry, here's some waffle. I'll have some waffle. Eat some waffle. Have a little waffle.
Apparently, I'm going to have some waffle now.
Have some waffle.
Your fork that's got 6 pounds of butter on it.
Eat some waffle. Okay. Have the waffle.
I'll have the waffle.
Eat the waffle. There you go. There you go.
How can I do it?
The waffle.
Just go waffle.
Go waffle, man. Go waffle. Boomer also does this at dinner when we go out to restaurants.
Yeah.
We'll cut a piece of something and force it into our mouths.
You know, the amazing thing is, you know, the crew for CBS Sports Network loves this event.
Oh, my God.
So when they're sitting down eating.
It's like the Last Supper.
Yeah. I mean, all the volunteers show up on time.
There was an Eggs Benedict on that plate.
Okay.
That's gone now. Now there's some French toast left.
But it truly is amazing. Like, all the volunteers show up on time.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody shows up on time because of the food.
Yeah. And this is just part one.
Yes.
Part two might even be more impressive.
Well, there's part three after that, but...
Oh, gosh. Part three.
We got the
you'll eat it and you'll love it.
Setting up right now.
Oh, yes. I know. Did you get the... Oh, that's right. Is that the one from... It's near me, right?
Yes,
it's
like
it's Bayport. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I love those
guys. Those guys are awesome.
They are.
We got 4 or 5 coffee here.
Mm-hmm.
We got... You name it. We got it all here. And everybody that we do business with... or I do business with, all has to support this event. And Victor Talbots is here, of course, giving the green jacket out, or the blue jacket, as I call it here, for the winning teams. And, everybody supports. It's great.
What type of power tool do we have in the gift
bag? Well, wait till you see that. We got real big power tools, Black & Decker, Stanley, you know that.
I love it.
Of course, Flag & Anthem stuffed your bags.
Yep.
Yeah, they did an unbelievable job this year with
love
all their
Brad.
Designs and everything. Yeah, Brad and everybody, they'll be here later, so that's good, too.
Yeah, Brad was in the WFN party suite. It was awesome chilling with him. All right, Jerry, let's get to it, man.
Morning brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So we're going to take you to the 8th inning with the Mets and Phillies. You had Edwin Diaz on. I don't think it would have been a 7-out save. But then again, who knows if he would have had a quick 8th inning. That was not to be, though, as the one and only Bryson Stott ruined the party.
The payoff pitch, lined over first, base hit, going towards the right field corner. The Phillies may take the lead. Harper's in, Castellanos around third. He's coming home. He'll score standing and going all the way to third with a triple is Bryson Stott.
Now, is it that low to the listener, or is that just us?
5-4.
Steve's enjoying his omelet over there. I don't know. Did it sound low to you guys back in the studio?
No, it was fine.
Okay, good.
Nice.
All right, so then that's good.
So that was a big part of the Phillies' win, 7-6. Nick Castellanos, though, 3-for-5, a home run, game-winning RBI, single in the ninth. Or maybe it was a double. I don't know how they scored it.
Looks like the actor Pedro Pascal. From Narcos.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Both good-looking men.
Good-looking men, yes. Yeah. Here was, so we mentioned Edwin Diaz. He blew it in the eighth inning. Here he was explaining.
just after the walk of Harper, I think I was a little bit, I went lazy to him instead of attacking him. You know, I tried to make pitches to see if he can chase
just
and get
like
him.
He didn't cover first base.
I didn't see him like
you were lazy that way, too.
Jesus. I got to start using that. I understand English is a second language. I went lazy. That is great. I'm sorry. I went lazy.
Well, I think he's talking about the pitch selection he went lazy on and didn't really attack him. Here's his manager, Carlos Mendoza.
I was fine with him pitching around Harper. And then, you know, he just left that slider over the plate and Stott got him.
Okay, and Harper hit the home run off of Severino, Luis Severino, earlier in the game. Here was Sevy in terms of that.
Yeah, I was trying to go up and away, just trying to throw a perfect pitch away, but, you know, run to the middle. I think, you know, against somebody like that, you have to locate your pitches. Doesn't matter how hard you throw it, you know. The hitter back even harder. So, you know, miss my location and I pay for it.
This game was so entertaining and fun that Gina actually got into it. Sat down next to me and watched this game, which, let me tell you something, she hates baseball. Hates it. She won't even get near the room I'm watching baseball. I can't get her to a game. I mean, I asked her to come to
big games now.
I asked her to come to the Yankee game. It was like I asked her to go to Baghdad Airport Road. You know, like it's amazing. But she said, she's like, I'm actually into this. And I was like, wow.
You know why? Crowd was full.
Yeah, that's probably
It's a thing now.
Feels great.
You know why? Because it's a thing. Everybody's on it. Everybody's on the baseball bandwagon.
Well, it's just
right
also
now.
The way the game played out too. It's crazy.
No doubt. Yeah. Eddie skipped to Tyler McGill. He's boring. This is Rob Thompson. I think this is an important point too, because before Harper hit the home run, it really seemed like the Mets were going to go home up 2-0. Here was Thompson.
That got everybody going, and It was huge because we, you know, Sevy was really good. And Sevy's a big game pitcher. He's been in a lot of these types of games, and you know, to get on the board and get the crowd back in it, I thought our bats were similar to last night up until that point, and then I thought our bats got a lot better.
Yeah, had life in them late. So now I'm going to take you back to Saturday. The Mets win. Now, they won one game. They didn't go up. They didn't win it in three. They didn't go up 2-0. They won one game. Here was Michael Barkan on did you see this?
I actually did see this.
So, just so you know, I worked with Michael Barkan.
Okay. Yeah, you said
in
that.
In 1990 and 91 for the World League of American Football, it was me, Brad Nessler, and Michael Barkan on USA Network on Monday night.
Yeah, it's a great story for you. No one cares.
Yeah. I'm going to shove this waffle down.
Al was sipping some sort of smoothie. I swear it almost came out of his nose. He almost looked terrified.
That means Eddie queued that up. I was waiting for Boomer to tell a story.
On USA Network Monday night.
I just want to let people know that I did put Michael Barkan was.
I'm going to guess by Eddie's reaction and clip that you've told that story several times.
Yeah, but I can't assume that everybody knows that. Jesus, Eddie.
Still very funny. We're Jesus Al. Anyhow, here he is on NBC Sports Philadelphia after the Game 1 loss in a best-of-five series.
Unless the Phillies fly in the face of history, this series is over. The Phillies have never won a series after losing the first game. Not once. 0-7. Don't blame Rob Thompson for this one. Don't blame Kevin Long. Don't blame Kyle Schwarber and damn sure don't blame the stud, Zach Wheeler. But Turner, Harper, Castellanos, Boehm, Stott, Realmuto, Marsh, Rojas, Hoffman, Strom, Kirkering, Bank, take a hike. You guys should be ashamed of yourselves.
Take a hike. You should be ashamed of yourselves. It's awesome.
Very fun. Well, the series is not over. It's 1-1 going back to going to Citi Field tomorrow for game.
The Beavers.
Sean Manaea.
That is unbelievable. unbelievable.
Well, that one had a purpose.
Yes, of course it did.
And Aaron Nola are the starters. And the Padres beat the Dodgers 10-2. San Diego, a lot of long balls. Jerickson Profar hits the catches the home run, takes it away from Mookie Betts in the crowd. So that's 1-1-2 going to San Diego. Tonight you got the Yankees and the Royals game two of their series. You will have Carlos Rodon and Cole Reagans, the starters, out at the stadium. We will have it for you on The Fan. All right, we get to the football from Sunday, and a good Sunday. That Giant defense swarming again, this time in Seattle.
Metcalf out to the left, Smith over center, Charbonnet in the backfield. They try a trick play, and Brian Burns comes in and sacks him. They try to throw a pass on a play action, and Brian Burns comes off the edge, and Spider-Man sends out his webs for the sack, and Seattle turns it over on downs. 51 seconds to go here in the fourth.
Yeah, one of seven sacks for this Giants defense. They beat the Seahawks 29-20. They got the return off the blocked field goal late. But earlier in this game, Seattle scored on a 100-yard return of a fumble. And as Brian Daboll mentions, that could have sunk the Giants, but it did not.
Good to come out here on the road, get a win. A lot of resiliency. Obviously, the way it started out, a 100-yard return after we drove the ball down on them. Thought we played good, efficient football. Thought our quarterback played good again.
And that quarterback is Daniel Jones, 257, couple of touchdowns. Big games for Tyrone Tracy and Darius Slayton as well. And here's Dexter Lawrence. He had three of those seven sacks, talking about being on and off the field.
Honestly, offense held the ball for forever. We had to stay warm on the sideline, but they did a good job controlling the clock. And we got stops and helped give them the ball back to keep controlling it.
Was it 36-24, something like that, in favor of the Giants?
Yeah,
pretty impressive.
Yeah. First half was really, I mean, that first drive, 10 plays, what, 79 yards?
Yeah.
Almost 10 minutes of, or at least 10 minutes of possession time.
Pretty damn good. In London yesterday morning, the Jets took on the Vikings. Now, I take you back a week, and everybody was bitching and complaining about why not Braylon Allen on the goal line, why Breece Hall? Braylon Allen will fall forward for a yard. Well, he had an opportunity not to score, but there was a short yardage situation on a big play in the game, and fair to say, he failed.
They need just about the 25-yard line, so a short two. Pistol formation. That's the cadence. The snap and the turn. The handoff straight ahead again. He's short, wrapped up in the backfield. Braylon Allen got the carry, and nothing doing for the Jets. They're turned away by the Vikings defense.
Can I ask you a football question?
Yes.
Why, when you need a yard or two, do we put the quarterback in a shotgun and put the running back 3 yards behind him?
That's today's NFL. That's what it is. That's been going on for the last 10 years now. We used to, back in the day, would bring everybody in close, and I would be under center, and I would hand it to the fullback and go, this is the best play you can come up with. You can't. Well, I don't know why my microphone's not working, but this is the best play you could come up with. Yeah.
No, I know. It almost seems like spread the field out and create space as opposed to bunching it in, and I don't know.
So the game has changed significantly over time, but this is why the tush-push works in Philadelphia.
And it does, no doubt. Here's Rob Saleh, the offense. Not great again. Matter of fact, kind of lousy. Here's Saleh.
It's early. We're five games in. Obviously, we'd like it to be a lot better, but it's early and we've got a long way to go.
A long way to go for sure. They're now 2-3 on the I think it's your cord, actually.
It's my cord.
Yeah, it has to be. You got a loose cord because otherwise you've been fine. And when you move, it's back. It's definitely that. So there you go.
Do you think it's
no?
It's because your cord's so big. It's hitting everything.
Good grief.
I've had a problem with this for a long time.
Eddie, I'm going to skip the two Garrett Wilson useless at this point because I want to play from the Cincinnati game. We were talking about this play Lamar Jackson made. This was your guy, Kevin. Now, you worked with Kevin Harlan, back in the day.
Yeah.
Here was Kevin Harlan on CBS on this Lamar Jackson Ravens touchdown where he drops the ball, avoids the rush, and then throws for a score.
Likely in motion. He bubbles it. Scoops it in. Vacuums it home. Here comes Hubbard. Oh, he's threw him away like a rag doll. And he throws in the end zone. Caught for a touchdown. Caught for a touchdown by Likely. Absolutely amazing. How in the world did he keep it together and then find the open receiver? Oh!
How about vacuums it home?
Pretty good.
I mean, that is, and if you watch it, it sort of like goes down. He brings it back up. It actually fits.
He tosses him down like a rag doll, like everything. Yeah. You can see it for sure. So that was.
My mic's not working too.
You know, it's fault. It's North Seth showed up, and then your mic stopped working. Not a coincidence. Not a coincidence.
Well, the Ravens wound up beating the Bengals in overtime.
Ladies and gentlemen of the CBS Sports Network audience, Steve Apria, everybody.
Everybody.
Hey, here he is.
Sunday Night Football, the Cowboys beat the Steelers 20-17. Dak Prescott.
It's working now.
350.
Boomer.
All the worst.
Yes. That was great. 352, couple of touchdowns, two picks. Oh, the game winner, Jalen Tolbert, with 20 seconds to go. Rico Dowdle ran for 87 yards and had a touchdown catch. And you've got the Saints taking on the Chiefs tonight, which will wrap up week five in the NFL. And in the WNBA, the Liberty beat the Aces 76-62. So they advance to the finals. They will take on either. You can have a local WNBA finals with the Sun. If they advance, they play the Lynx. That series tied 2-2. Connecticut beat Minnesota 92-82. And two things from the NBA. I think you referenced this before. Maybe you didn't. The Knicks opened preseason, and Karl Anthony Towns had 10. So I actually looked pretty good.
He did.
Yeah, for a first preseason game. And I saw Bronny James was it 4 minutes with LeBron or something like that? So that's off and running, and everybody's going goo goo gaga over that with the Lakers.
Goo goo gaga.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and the NHL season starts tomorrow after the Devils did take two in Prague over
Devils
Thursday
look
Friday.
Good, man.
They do. Yeah, they look good.
The Markstrom is going to be good, and he's
young
gonna
and
be good
fast
for you guys. Yep.
Exactly.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, live from Glen Oaks Club. It's the Boomer Esiason Foundation's golf tournament, 31st annual, raising big money for the foundation. We'll talk to Gunnar Esiason, how the foundation all started back in the 80s. Right?
No,
it was
90s.
I was going to say late 80s.
It actually started in 93 when I got traded to the Jets.
1993.
And Gunnar and I were on the cover of Sports Illustrated in October of 93. And our first golf tournament was 1994 at Sands Point.
Nice.
First 2 years were at Sands Point, and then we had a couple years up at Hudson National. Then we had one at Fresh Meadow. And then we moved here.
Awesome.
And 27 holes here at this beautiful place. It's a spectacular place, as you've been saying all morning. But the golf is really, I mean, off the charts. It's one of the greatest golf courses you could ever play. And all my buddies that come from out of town, that come here to play here, they come here specifically, obviously, to support the foundation, but they want to play this golf course.
Yeah, because Craig Currier, the Patrick Mahomes of superintendents, is in charge here.
You know.
And by the way, Chris Mercadante, sales, what do they call it, account executive, I guess they call him, some euphemistic title.
Yes.
He is here. Last time Chris Mercadante was here, he was hitting a ball with a full swing off of a green.
Which is not smart.
Yep. And he said the reason why he did that was because he didn't see a stick in the thing.
He didn't see a stick. He didn't see the pin in the green.
Yeah.
See, Al, you see the pin. Well, they don't have they have the pin on the ground here.
Because they were working on.
Yes.
That was one of the nines that were closed that day.
Oh, I see.
And because they were working on it, he decided to just go over there and whack it right off the green at one of the nicest golf courses in the country.
Pass the blunt.
Yeah. And,
yeah, well.
Well, so the fact that he's even allowed back here right now is amazing.
Well, he's volunteering.
Should have tased him at the door.
He's volunteering.
Anyway. All right, so all this talk about Rob Sala potentially getting fired in the middle of the season. You know, I saw Francesa yesterday, like right after the game, did his Bette Rivers thing. If I were Woody Johnson, I wouldn't let that guy get on the plane. Okay, I would leave Hackett and Sala there in London. They could do whatever. They can go to Abbey Road. They could do it. They can hold hands. They can get a spotted tea or a spotted dick. I don't care. Okay, they need to stay there. So, but the realistic possibility of that seems to me to be very, very slim, unless it's just like so bad in week 15 and they only have 3 wins.
Yeah, I would say that as Rob Sala said yesterday, and I know Jet fans don't want to hear this because they have seen the Jets play two teams that they beat and they actually look good in those games, especially offensively, and they had good balance and defense did what it normally does and holds down the opposing team. But the offense the last 2 weeks looks completely out of sync. And maybe yesterday towards the fourth quarter when they were trying to come back and amount that comeback, they threw like 18 passes in a row. And I felt like finally they started to, you know, move, and they were moving the ball down the field. And, you know, it wasn't pretty, but at least they got it going. So maybe that will lead to something. And again, I just keep saying, the year that I went to Arizona, I played the first three games. I got benched two out of the three games at halftime. And that's when I went to the coach and said, you got to stop benching me. You either have to play me and believe in me and support me, or you have to bench me and play the other guy and let him play. And lo and behold, he benched me and played the other guy. And then all of a sudden, the team started to play well. And maybe because the other guy, Kent Graham in this case, had a chance to watch on the sideline, saw what wasn't happening, and then could change some things when he went out there on the field and made things started to happen. But I'm not saying
you're not benching Aaron Rodgers.
No, you're not going to do that with Aaron Rodgers. But what I'm saying, when I finally got back into the lineup, that's when we started to take off as an offense, because now everybody understood exactly what Jim Fossil was doing as our offensive coordinator. So it doesn't matter if you're 32 like or 34 like I was, or you're 30 or 40 like Aaron is, you still have to learn your players, and they have to learn you. Even if they have the great names like Mike Williams, it's a great player. He's had a great career.
Yeah, but
those
all right,
two guys have never been on the field together for the last couple weeks.
But let me I'll play devil's advocate here. So tell me why, and I know he didn't play well yesterday, but tell me why Sam Darnold can step in and be able to have the success he has when he wasn't playing with any of those guys.
Yeah, but his success, I think, has been due in large part to a coach who's got a really good understanding. Sam is also playing with some great players.
Well, and the Jets are supposed to have all these talented players on offense too, right?
Yeah, but they don't have the offensive design that Kevin O'Connell
has.
Sorry,
the answer to the question. The coaching stinks for the Jets. It stinks.
If you want to say stinks, that's a harsh word.
Come on, you know it. They're terrible.
But the quarterback wants it that way.
No.
Just so you understand,
he doesn't
that.
Want an idiot head coach.
I'm not talking about the head coach. I'm talking about the offense in general. Because that's the thing that everybody has the problem with. Because it's Aaron Rodgers, and everybody wants him to be playing at his all-pro MVP best when he's coming off of an Achilles tear, and he's also learning new players, and he's only played five games with those players.
Yeah, I mean...
And I would say the creativity for the offense is what I'm talking about. You know, and I can only go by, you know, experience and things that I've been through myself. And when I was at my best, that's when the offense was most creative, no huddle, at the line of scrimmage, going fast, different formations, different groupings of personnel, motions, shifting, all of that kind of stuff, which you never see the Jets do.
Right, but I mean, I could sit here and give you 10 million examples of guys who have come in that don't know their team that somehow
Joe Flacco.
Yeah, right. To go up and down the field.
Why didn't
no
Joe Flacco do it here with the Jets?
Well, there was a difference.
Browns and the Colts.
I know. I don't understand. I don't. He looked disinterested when he was with the Jets. He's looked great in all these other places. I mean, Jaden Daniels. How about that? Guy's a freaking rookie. C.J. Stroud last year. I mean, there's been a ton of examples.
By the way, it's been a little tougher for C.J. Stroud this year than it was last year.
Right.
You know why? Because people know it. Now they know how to defend him. But the other thing about Jaden Daniels, he is a freak athlete. He's like Anthony Richardson, but he also played so many more games in college than Anthony Richardson ever did. So I think Jaden Daniels gets himself out of trouble because he's so uber athletic.
Sure.
And, you know, there are times where he, like yesterday, I was listening last night on NBC, they were saying how he ran past Cliff Kingsbury after he ran out of bounds when he broke the pocket, and he came back. He goes, "Yo, man, I'm playing man. You got to call a go route." And next play was a go route, and he hit his wide receiver for a touchdown on a go route.
Yeah,
I mean, and that is a kid that obviously is so focused in and is seeing what's happening on the field. That's great.
I love that guy. I love watching him. I think he's awesome. He's got the right attitude. He's so much fun to watch. And the NFL is sometimes you get games like the Jets and the Vikings yesterday is a tough watch, and then you get a game like the Bengals and the Ravens, which is unbelievable. The NFL needs more Jaden Daniels out there, because he is every single week he's doing something that blows your mind. It's a big problem for the Giants.
Like I always tell you this, there are there are teams that have their quarterbacks that have excited their fans for the last 5 or 6 years. We all know who those teams are, led by Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Those are, and Lamar Jackson. Those are the three guys, along with Joe Burrow, because he's taking his team to the Super Bowl. Then you have teams that have older quarterbacks that you believe in, but you just don't know how much longer they're going to play. That's a Matthew Stafford. You know, that's a Aaron Rodgers type. You know, that, and so there are a few of those teams. And then there are teams that have nothing, like the Carolina Panthers, the Chicago, I'm thinking now, the Carolina Panthers, the Oakland, or the Vegas Raiders, excuse me. And there are teams like that, and you're wondering, okay, when are they going to get their chance to get an exciting player like Jaden Daniels?
New York Giants.
Well, the Giants are like a middling team. Like, they have a guy that can play well enough that can win. Is the team around him good enough to support, you know, the level at which he can play, the highest level at which he can play? And if the defense plays like this, and as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, to win a game on the road in Seattle after turning the ball over at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, I give Daniel a lot of credit, but he's not exciting any fan base ever again.
No, I understand. Like, I understand that, yeah.
So, I mean, and it'd be nice for him to put together a great little season, but he's no way in the Jaden Daniels category, never will be, never was.